Almighty Creator of all things. Our dear Heavenly Father, we approach you this Easter morning in prayer and thanksgiving. We ask, dear Father, grant unto us comfort and joy of thy word, as thou comforted those first believers there on that first Easter morning. And as thou hast comforted and uplifted and fed all the believers for the last couple of thousand years, dear Father, we thank you that thou hast called us to be thy children, and that thou hast preserved us here in living faith to this day. And we simply say, dear Father, increase our faith. Grant unto us power and strength to endeavor here in thy kingdom until the last day, when we can close our eyes and sleep in thy peace. Dear Father, we pray this morning on behalf of our loved ones and our dear neighbors who are endeavoring and struggling in the darkness of unbelief. Grant unto them the grace, Son, to shine upon them. Grant unto them yearning hearts to receive peace and forgiveness. Dear Father, thank you for all thy gifts that thou hast bestowed upon us. This, our daily bread, for our families, our loved ones, our dear brothers and sisters in faith, but above all, for granting unto us this gift of faith. We ask, dear Father, feed and nourish us from thy word and through thy spirit, wherever this word is spoken this day. And for all this we ask in thy beloved Son's name, in Jesus' name, amen. For our Easter morning text here, I'm going to read that portion from the 28th chapter of Matthew, the first of the gospel text pertaining to this time. And these words are in Jesus' name as follow. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back a stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples his word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Amen. God has certainly blessed us, dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, dear neighbors, with this glorious Easter morning, even in a temporal sense, as we enjoy the warmth of the morning sun. I sat early watching the first rays on the horizon, and slowly that sun rose into this beginning of a beautiful day. But much more importantly, the message of this day, Easter, which one would have to say is the greatest celebration in Christendom, in living faith. For Jesus is not dead, he lives. He arose victorious over Satan, over death, over damnation. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Dear brothers and sisters, it's important. I encourage you, mothers and fathers, you dear brothers and sisters, beloved youth, and yes, even you children, to read the Bible. Take time to read and study what happened even on this day. Read as the word was recorded by the believing brethren from Matthew, from Mark, from Luke, and from John. And as you read of the accounts of this day from each portion of that gospel, one receives a full picture of what happened on that first Easter morning. Indeed, it was Mary Magdalene who, along with the other Mary, were the first to go in the darkness of the night already toward that sepulchre. The other women were coming behind, and they were going to do the last act of love to their Savior and to anoint the body. And they wondered and they questioned among themselves as they began to go to that sepulchre. They knew there was a great stone that was placed in the opening of the sepulchre. Perhaps they had already heard the news of how the chief priests went to Pilate and said that we must seal the sepulchre because the disciples will come and steal the body and say then that Jesus has arisen. And so they were told, go and do as you like. And so they went and they sealed the sepulchre. When one seals something, it is closed in such a fashion that it is impossible to open. But as we heard, the angel of heaven came down. Great, brilliant light shone. And the power of God descended. And there was an earthquake. and the seals were shattered. The bars of death could not hold. And there were, yes, there were guards there, Roman soldiers that were guarding so that no one could come to attempt to break the seals and so on. The Bible says that they fell to the ground as dead men. They were so frightened at this brilliance and the light of God. And they lay on the ground as this happened. Now the first rays of dawn were glowing there over the mountains of Judea. The women were approaching the sepulchre, wondering, how can they perform this last duty of love? And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now the women approached. This is the message that they heard. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." And then he said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay." We, dear brothers and sisters, need to remember on this first Easter the happenings that surrounded during the time of Passion Week, of which we heard so preciously here the last few days. The prophets had prophesied that the shepherd shall be smitten and the sheep shall scatter. And so it happened. The disciples had ran and were hiding for the fear of death behind locked doors, in shock, in great sorrow, heavy doubt. They also, dear brother and sister, thought, as many did during that day, that Jesus would reign over the land. And there would be good times in the land, and the people would be cared for very greatly by this shepherd. They saw many times the miracles that Jesus did. Fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men, their wives and their children out of a few loaves of bread and a couple of fishes. And afterwards, when Jesus told his disciples to gather the crumbs that had fallen, they filled 12 baskets with the crumbs that remained. Oh, they thought that this is a wonderful king. Believers and unbelievers alike had this thought. And now they were in fear, laden with tremendous doubt and sorrow at what had happened. The women also, Mary Magdalene. You remember Mary Magdalene. One would have to say of Mary that in her childhood she experienced the wonderful light of a child of God in her soul and bosom. But at some time, through the deceitfulness of sin, Mary Magdalene perhaps in enjoying the temptation and the sin that the world was offering, fell away and became hardened unto sin and lived in sin, so much so that Satan had caused seven demons to rule over her soul. Then Jesus approached her, and she could sense the wonder, and she received the grace of repentance. And once again, this grace sun began to shine in her life. But she also was there, beholding the Lord upon the cross with the other women and believers and unbelievers alike on Good Friday. Tremendously sorrowing at what had happened, not comprehending. And so it was even with the very disciples of Jesus, not comprehending the prophecies of which they had read and reread, and the word of the Lord Himself as He explained unto the disciples and unto His own what must happen. They could not recall because of doubt. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye. I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you." We remember what happened. Mary Magdalene, when she came to the sepulchre and saw that the stone had been moved, she immediately ran back to tell the disciples. The other women approached the sepulchre and heard this message which we heard read here today. She went to tell the disciples, and it was Peter and John then that ran to the sepulchre to behold. The women had already left. Mary was following behind, tired. After all, she had just ran to those locked doors where the disciples sat, weeping and sorrowing and doubting. And Peter, when he got to the sepulchre, he went right in and he saw the linens of death and the napkin that had been upon his face. John entered and looked, and the Bible says, and they returned to the place of the disciples, wondering. Then Mary Magdalene herself alone returned to the sepulchre. It's recorded in the Gospel of John. And she saw the two angels in the sepulchre, one at the head and one at the foot of where Jesus laid. And she asked them. She didn't even recognize they were angels, even though the brilliance shone. But so heavy were the doubts that obscured the vision. I'm going to turn to that portion where Mary Magdalene then came. It says here in the 20th chapter of John, "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have lain him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. She stood up, and she turned, and the Lord Jesus was standing there, but she did not recognize him. Such doubt causes in our lives. Many times there's obstacles of faith before us, and we know Jesus is there, but we do not feel his presence. The power of Satan is surrounding. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Now Jesus is speaking unto her. The Bible says, She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Imagine. She didn't recognize his voice. So great was the sorrow and doubt that had captured her. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. When Jesus called her by name, her eyes were opened. She recognized the Lord. And Jesus comforted her. And she also then ran back to where the disciples were with great joy, as one could imagine. Jesus is not dead, he liveth. She proclaimed to the disciples. Do you know what the Bible says of the response of the disciples? Now, one can imagine that her cup was overflowing, that she was rejoicing and praising God for this miracle of salvation. And as God had opened unto her understanding, the Bible says, and the disciples believed not. The other women also returned, thanking, praising God, bringing the message that Jesus is not dead, he lives. And the Bible says, and the disciples believed not. And then we come now to evening. The rays of the afternoon sun are long. Here's the response when the women returned. It's in the 24th chapter of Luke, the 11th verse. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I was going to read here from the 24th chapter of Luke, beginning from the 13th verse, and it says, And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about fir lawns. It was still late afternoon. The rays of the sun were still glowing, but daylight was fading. The Bible says, and they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I don't know when it was when I've read this portion, but at one point it really struck me. I know it didn't at first. And it was probably years afterward when I had read it and reread it and read it again and reread it that I paused here. And they communed together and reasoned. And reasoned over the matters that had taken place. Dear brothers and sisters, reason, human reason in matters of living faith overwhelms faith. Reason is a wonderful gift given unto mankind in this temporal life. But we as children of God, with the eyes of faith, cannot begin to reason over matters of living faith. Reason very quickly overwhelms. Doubts come and doubts destroy hope. Doubts destroy hope. That is why we have often even begged for forgiveness of our sins and even our doubts. The psalmist pleaded unto the Heavenly Father, "Restore unto me the joy of salvation." This is important, dear brother and sister, that we pray to God. Because the tempter is so close to us, so near to us. His power is so great. His enticements so fine and so close before us. That time and time again, we need to pray to God to restore unto me the joy of thine salvation. Joy brings hope. The gospel brings assurance. Your sins are forgiven. Heaven is open. It pays, dear brother and sister, to believe. Yes, many times we become so doubt-ridden, even as these very disciples. Mary, who saw him, heard him speak. These two now that were onto this way to this little village, some distance off from Jerusalem, Jesus approached them. They did not recognize him. He began to speak unto them, and they did not recognize his voice. Reason overwhelms faith, dear brother and sister. The Apostle Paul reminded, if I can find that portion, it's in the Epistle of Romans, but he reminded the believers of that day and reminds us today that the wisdom of man is enmity before God. What is enmity? It's when you look in the dictionary, it says it's a deep-seated hatred. Oh, we have so many loved ones, so many unbelieving neighbors, dear loved ones who are even this day, this wondrous day of grace, struggling in the darkness of unbelief,
Oftentimes their reason is trying to understand the matters of faith. It is impossible. These two disciples experienced it. And as they journeyed together and reasoned among themselves,
and Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. Yes, doubt had obscured that vision of hope so greatly that they didn't recognize the Lord Himself.
Thoughts of reason were echoing down the canyons of their mind, causing greater grief and sorrow.
And He said unto them, "What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Now Jesus is asking the question of them. He knew. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And He said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto Him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him." What is important, dear brother and sister, extremely important to remember here: the disciples were so doubt-ridden, they were so heavily weighed down, so filled with sorrow and grief, and yet God did not forget them. As He continued, one could see a little smoldering flack. They had a flicker of hope. It wasn't much. And they said, "But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." But they continued, and they said, "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said, but him they saw not." Then something remarkable happened here. Something that has happened also in your life and mine. God has seen when we have been in great need, when we have been struggling in living faith, doubting and without hope, He approached us. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" And then He began from the very beginning of the Bible, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. One after one, He relayed of the promise of God unto mankind, of the coming of the Savior, already there on the outside of the Garden of Eden, as Adam and Eve stood there. and again throughout the ages, the prophecies of the prophets. And so Jesus related unto them these things. And when they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? So also we have experienced, dear brothers and sisters, oftentimes, when God's Word had warmed our cold and empty heart. The psalmist has said that the voice of salvation and rejoicing is heard in the tabernacles of God. Oftentimes this rejoicing has arisen from our heart and soul, silently unto the Heavenly Father, that He has not forgotten me. These disciples experienced that. They were so filled with joy that now it was night. They returned running unto Jerusalem once again with that joyous message. Jesus is not dead, He lives. Relating unto them those parts of the Scriptures which Jesus had just told them. And do you know how it is recorded in the Gospel according to Mark? Now when these two had returned, the disciples listened. And it's written there, and the disciples believed not. I believe, dear brothers and sisters, that it is this same evening as those two are there in that locked, behind those locked doors, comforting and encouraging and praising God, comforting those doubt-ridden disciples and those that were gathered behind those locked doors, that now, and it says here in the same 24th chapter of Luke, And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them there, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, yes, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Yes, much needed peace there in that chamber. Jesus came encouraging them, Be not afraid. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Do you remember when those disciples were on that storm-tossed sea? Waves were overcoming, filling the boat with water, and Jesus had remained on the shore. He had gone up into that mountainside to pray as the disciples. It was night. The disciples had launched their boat and started rowing to the other side of the sea. And now it was night and a storm came, and they were fearful and they were frightened. And then Jesus appears unto them walking on the sea.
amongst the storm-tossed sea. And they became even more frightened. They thought it was a spirit. And Jesus said unto them, "Fear not." So He encouraged them once again here. "Fear not. Peace be unto you." What is remarkable, what happened there in that chamber, as you read here further in this Gospel according to Luke. And in the 45th verse, He says, "And then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And now He leaves this message unto you and I, dear brother and sister." This one request of our Lord Jesus. Yes, in that upper chamber on that Maundy Thursday evening, He instructed those that were there that no new commandment I leave unto you but this, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, He reminds us, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. And so on. He left with us that mission command that, oh, you mothers and fathers there in your home, your little home congregation, preach the gospel. Encourage the children and your youth. Preach the gospel one to another. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Encourage those lost loved ones. Encourage them. Speak to them of the love of Christ. Be bold, dear brother and sister, in faith. Encourage, uplift, comfort. Because every one of us is in need of encouragement, of uplifting, and of comfort, and of assurance. Even now, dear brother and sister, beloved youth, dear children, that all your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And be of good comfort. Jesus is not dead. He lives. And He lives in you through the Holy Spirit. And so we endeavor to remain believing here in this place of a child. Yes, oftentimes there are those great obstacles that Satan places before us. I remember those loving words of God when He encouraged the children there in the time of Hezekiah. When there was a great obstacles before them then. They were surrounded by the forces of the enemy of the soul, even as we are today. But there, during that time, in the walled cities of Jerusalem, were surrounding it with 185,000 armed soldiers of the Assyrians, who were taunting and ridiculing the living God daily in the Hebrew language. This is what God told them. And He spake comfortably to them in that 32nd chapter, the second book of Chronicles. He said, "Be strong and be courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And listen now what the Bible says. It says, and the people rested themselves upon the words that they had heard. Isn't it comforting, dear brother and sister, that we can remain believing here in this kingdom, even as the least? That candle of faith seems to be so just smoldering that there's not even a fleck there of light. And yet, the prophet even reminds us of that he shall not extinguish a smoldering flax. This is the kind of Heavenly Father we have, dear brother and sister. And so, this Easter morning, be comforted and be uplifted. He has promised, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. Believe, dear brother and sister, all sin and doubt forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And I need to hear this gospel too. That can I believe my own doubts and sins also forgiven? I certainly desire to believe with you. And we have such reason to be joyful, such reason to be hopeful, such reason to be thanking and praising God for what He has done here in His kingdom, namely that He has called you by name. And that He has prayed for you that your faith fail not. And so we remain believing. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.